The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Can you imagine a world where everyone knows they can make a difference? What if controversy is your ticket to success and new possibilities, to being a leader in creating a different reality? Do you have the courage to create something greater than has ever existed before? This is The Value of Controversy, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Join us now for the tools, techniques, and awareness you need to create a world that you would be grateful to live in. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome, everyone, to The Value of Controversy. I am Tamara Yonker. I'm an Access Consciousness facilitator. And my co-hosts joining me for today's show are two more Access Consciousness facilitators. We have Anne Maxwell. Hi, Anne.
Hey, Tamara. How are you doing?
Great. And we have also Jonas Svensson. Welcome, Jonas.
Hey. Thank you.
So I'm excited to be here with both of you today to talk about this topic. What's the cost of losing you in relationship? And we have been having a discussion just before getting on the show and realized this is such a broad topic. We could probably do 10 shows on this topic. So we're going to just jump right in and see where this takes us today. I know for me, when I think about what's the cost of losing you in relationship, I often start from a place of where I tend to make other people's choices maybe more important or greater than what I would choose, or I make other people's points of view more important or greater than what I would choose. We tend to want to make the people in our lives happy, and so maybe we forget that we need to be in the equation of our own lives first before we can actually come together with another person and create something. I think that has been my personal experience a lot in the past, and I realized I was kind of operating from a relationship model that really wasn't mine. It was something that was sort of handed to me, and so I was like, oh, okay, this is how you do relationships. So I went along in my life creating relationship based on what I had seen my parents do, what I had seen friends do, and every relationship that I ever tried, it just seemed like a whole lot of hard work, and it wasn't really ever truly working. It was like just making the best of it. And I know that there's so much more possible out there and that it is possible to do relationship by design in more of a way that we can create what works for us and expand into a whole new world of possibility. So I think it would be kind of fun to start there.
Cool. Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny that you're saying it because I can see now when I'm looking at a relationship from a more, let's call it from a more sober perspective than I did before, when I thought that was the purpose of life, basically, to, you know, to find the right one, because that was the most important thing. You need to have somebody to share things with and all of that stuff that everybody have told me. And what I realized after actually my having in my universe, it showed up as a bad breakup around just before I turned 30. It really crashed my life totally. And I'm like, oh, hey, what's the purpose of this? Like, I did everything right, and now this has happened. And then I went into this period of, like, taking 6 months to figure things out. And, you know, what I realized now, a couple of years later, or it's actually a lot of years later now, but I realized that is basically one of the prices for losing you in relationship, because what I see constantly, people need to, like, recover after relationship. They need to separate. They need to move on to create themselves again. And yeah, that's because we have lost ourselves in the relationship. So when you get out of the relationship, it's like, okay, so who am I? Like, did I get lost somewhere? Because I have no clue who I am now, because we have basically created ourselves more as the relationship than as ourselves in the relationship a lot of times. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, Jonas, and the thing that I keeps coming up for me is that doesn't this actually apply to relationships across the board? It doesn't just have to be a romantic or sexual or marital relationship, but also
with friends, family, and siblings,
and coworkers, like everybody.
And coworkers, yeah.
Right? And the degree to which I changed as a result of my path crossing access consciousness and using the tools and applying them in my daily life is that I really am very different from the way I used to be before then. And it has hugely affected my relationships with the people that I used to spend a lot of time with. And I find that because I'm not who I used to be, they don't know who I am yet or still, and they keep looking for the person that I was, right? And the person that I was really was somebody that I had molded myself to be in order to align and agree with them and resist and react everybody else and, you know, to connect with them and to create separation from us and the people who weren't like us, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And it was really living my life based on so many judgments. And it was just exhausting, you know?
Exactly. No, I totally can hear what you're saying about that. And, you know, like what I've seen now is that, you know, two people are coming in, and they are basically two people, two persons, and then they're meeting up in a relationship, and they start what we would call in this reality as growing together, you know. But what I actually see is happening in a lot of cases is that we start to make the relationship, it's almost like a third entity, and we start making that third entity more significant and more valuable than ourselves. So suddenly I have to make my choices based on the priority, what's best for the relationship and then what's best for me and or the other person. And like, I guess that a lot of people have themselves on the second and a lot of people have the other one as the second. But the relationship seems to be the first one. And of course we lose this ourselves. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, it's so cool that you say that because part of my training as a therapist was in marital therapy, and there's a particular form of marital therapy that says basically that there are three units or three entities in the marriage. There's the husband, the wife, or the two people, and then the marriage itself. And the underlying belief is that in order for a marriage to succeed, the marriage needs to take precedence over the wants and the needs and the desires of the husband and the wife. It's like, wow. That's what they teach therapists these days, no?
Yeah, it's so weird for me because, so, I mean, it's obvious. So let's say that you're meeting a person and you start a relationship together, and then over time you make the relationship more and more and more valuable compared to yourself. And then after 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or even 25 to 35 years, you break up or you divorce yourself from a marriage. Of course, it takes like 2 years to recover from that because you have basically given up all of you in the favor for this common entity that you have built together. And now suddenly it doesn't exist anymore. So it's like, yeah, then you have really lost yourself.
Unless you have the tools of access.
Exactly.
So, and then you don't have to spend so much time, right?
You don't have to. But, like, really, if people would just, like, so what would it take, actually, to start creating relationships where we don't have to give up ourselves? Because it's also, as you said, like, it's coworkers and friends and family and kids and and colleagues of all kinds, you know, wherever you go, you basically have relationship with people. So whenever you are giving up you as for something else and making something else more valuable, if it's a relationship or if it's a person or if it's a workplace or if it's something else, that's when you start losing you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I work with a lot of clients who it seems almost like there's a trend lately where people would almost rather not be in relationship because they've tried and tried and tried and tried and they just can't seem to make it work, or they always it's like literally relationship has become the showcase for the wrongness of them. They're like, I'm just wrong. Every time, every which way I've tried relationship, I come out wrong. And it's interesting that, you know, people stop dating or they say, I'm never going to get married again. And their world just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks until they've defended against any other possibility. And so a lot of what I explore with people is, what if you could actually create relationship? What if the current relationship model that everybody's trying to get right is not something that can allow you to be you in relationship? And what if it's about exploring and discovering how to create a relationship in a way that will allow you to actually be you in the relationship and have the relationship at the same time, where you don't have to exclude yourself in order to be in this relationship? And it's, you know, I see these light bulbs going off in people's worlds because they're like, oh, I can do that?
Right. Right.
Yeah, that was. I just got a crazy thought from what you said, Tamara. That was so brilliant that I was just like, so what if you were allowed to, you know, explore you in the relationship instead of the relationship, like, exploring or deciding who you're supposed to be? Like, what if you were really allowed to be you in the relationship without the relationship, the rules of a relationship being more significant? That was so good, Tamara.
And I remember when I was growing up and I was looking at my parents' marriage, it was something that to me was a disaster. I was in judgment of my parents' marriage from a very young age because I looked at these two people and I said, to me, it didn't seem like they loved each other. And I just thought, what is this? Like, what are you guys doing? You're kind of going through the motions of having a relationship, but like, to me at that time, this fundamental piece of like the love seemed to be missing. And I was like, well, I don't want a relationship like that. And one of the things I remember my mom talking about all the time, this was like drilled into me since I was very young, was, well, marriage is all about compromise. And I just remember like literally, it was like, you know, nails on a chalkboard every time she said that, because I kept thinking, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. I mean, this marriage is all about compromise. Like, she totally gave herself up completely to be in this marriage, in this relationship with my father. And I was just like, that is not what I want. But there was nothing else out there that gave me an opportunity to, you know, a different model or somebody, you know, showing me there was a different way to be in relationship. And that is something that I have absolutely learned, thanks to Access Consciousness, is that there's an entirely different way to do, quote-unquote, do relationship. It doesn't have to, there is no right way. We've sort of bought into this idea that there's a right way to do relationship, and if you don't do it that way, then, you know, you're not getting it right.
Yeah, I think we have even bought into that we're supposed to do relationship, first of all, and then how.
Yes. There you go, exactly.
it's not only the how, because you're, first of all, it's like there must be something wrong with you if you're not in relationship. And God forbid, if you're over 30 and you're not in relationship, it's like people are looking at people who are not in relationship when they're 34, like, I wonder what's wrong with that person. They look normal.
Right. And there's the how, there's the who, what, where, why, when, and how. There's the everything, like all the judgments that are attached to all of that that we seem to carry around with us.
And I got a lot of, because I was single. I have been married, but I was single, or unmarried, we'll say. I was unmarried until I was 39 years old. And so, you know, what you just said, all the way through my 30s, I would meet people and they'd say, oh, so are you married? And I'd say no. And they would say, oh, don't worry, you'll meet somebody.
Yeah.
And it was just that automatic conclusion that, you know, they took pity on me because I wasn't married. And I was like, it never occurred to them to ask me if I actually wanted to be married or if I wanted, you know, and then same thing, like, do I have kids? No, I don't have kids. Well, they automatically went into that assumption that was such a sad sad state of affairs. I'm not married and I don't have kids. Oh, that's so bad. That's so sad.
Yeah.
And not everyone has to choose to live life that way. It doesn't make you wrong if you're not choosing the prescribed formula of living life, you know, on this planet that way.
No, exactly.
It seems as if relationships is just one of those areas that's almost like super sensitive, isn't it? Where other people's judgments, it's almost like they sear and they hurt more than they do in, say, business or money or health or whatever. But maybe that's just true for me. But those kinds of criticisms and those kinds of judgments used to just, they just like knock me, they take me down. And because I didn't get married until I was in my 40s, in my early 40s. And
oh, what was wrong with you before?
Oh, I was so wrong, Jonas. I was such a freak. Right? And I actually, I learned later that I had actually created my life and set it up specifically so that I wouldn't be in a relationship, but I didn't get to see that piece until a long time.
But you know, I totally get what you're saying, because if we look at these big things, like, for example, that, just look at the energy and this reality of that you should have a relationship. I mean, it's so significant that it's like you're supposed to be in a relationship. How many people aren't staying in a relationship because they'd rather be in a relationship than not, just because they're supposed to be in a relationship. And then you have all these things like, what if a relationship would, like, what if we would break up? What if I would lose this person? What if I would lose this relationship? What if, like, it's like divorce is the biggest failure on the planet. And, you know, what if I never find anybody? What if I never find the right one? And all these energies and judgments, it's not only judgments. They're so loaded with charge and significance. It's incredible.
So should we clear some of that?
No, I think everybody
should we just
keep
stick
on
everybody
having that forever. Yeah, of course. Like, if we could just, like, everywhere we have made all these things, like, significant based on other people's points of views, can we just destroy and uncreate that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, or bad, put and poke, all nice shirts, boys, and beyond.
And everywhere we've taken on other people's fantasies about who, what, where, when, why, and how we have to be in a relationship, can't be, should be, must always be, can never be. Can we destroy and create all that?
Yeah. Yes.
Right? All right, five shorts, boys of the end.
Yeah, it's the utopian ideal, right? We've been fed the utopian ideal that says, here's what you must do in relationship, here's what it should like, here's how to do it right, and if you can't, you're forever judging yourself as wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. To be so wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant, Tamara. Oh, this is something we want to talk about a lot. I mean, how much of the wrongness of you are you basically creating based on different things from the rules of relationships?
Absolutely.
And from the rules that you were given growing up, like how many of the rules of relationship do you get from the relationships that either were in existence or weren't in existence when you were growing up, depending on what your home life was like.
Yeah, you have just been assigned a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And this is not what you have to live for after, from.
It was something interesting happened to me, I noticed, when I was younger. I was sort of a serial monogamist in my life, where I had a series of long-term relationships from the point I was very young. And what happened was I noticed that, you know, when I was in relationship, I was pretty good at being me, actually. And it wasn't until the first time in my early 20s that I actually moved in with boyfriend that I noticed that things changed. As soon as I moved in, it was like, oh, now I got to get serious because we're living together. And it was time for me to, like, take on the role of being more of the almost like the wife, even though we weren't married. It was taking on that role of, like, happy homemaker and wife and whatever. And I started to notice that instead of just valuing me being me and that being of me as a contribution to the relationship, it became more about what I could do, like, you know, taking care of and doing all these things to ensure that the relationship was going to be successful. And I shifted very much into this energy of doing rather than being, which is a big part of where I lost myself in relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing about doing is that you're always doing it according to other people's points of view and other people's fantasies.
Exactly.
Right? Other people's judgments.
Cool. I'd love to explore that further. And it's about time to take a break. So before we take that break, I just want to remind everybody that if you'd like to connect with us between the shows, we have a Facebook page called The Value of Controversy, and you can follow us on Twitter at @the_v_o_c, or you can send us an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. So we will be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at AccessConsciousness.com. AccessConsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At AccessConsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. AccessConsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to AccessConsciousness.com to learn more.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel, VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Tamara Yonker, and I am here today with Anne Maxwell and Jonas Svensson. We are talking about the topic, what's the cost of losing you in relationship? And right before we took a break, we sort of stumbled upon a theme that I'd like to continue with. It's that idea that there are sort of right rules of relationship, that there's a right way to do relationship. And what I was sharing before the break was some personal experience about how I seem to have more ease being me in relationship before I moved in with a guy and I started living with him. And it was like all of a sudden something got activated in my world that was like, oh, now that you're living with this guy, there's a right way to do relationship, and I have to do all these things to prove that I can do relationship the right way. And what I noted, that relationship, I think we lived together about 3.5 years or so, and then we did break up. And interestingly enough, I had a huge gap after that of about 8 years where I was single before I finally met my now ex-husband and married him. And I think part of why I was single for so long was because I felt like I couldn't do relationship right. I couldn't follow the rules that had been prescribed to me and get it right. So it was almost like I was avoiding relationship altogether because I didn't feel like I knew how to do it right. And when I did finally get married and lived with my husband, it was almost like that pressure of the expectation of getting relationship right was even heavier than it was the first time that I lived with a guy. And there's definitely different ways of doing relationship, and I for sure had eliminated me in all of that efforting to get relationship right. Now, Jonas, you had some comments that you wanted to share.
Oh, absolutely, because this is like, so first of all, so I live in Sweden, and I'm fully aware of that. It's probably a little bit different. It's slightly different in different areas of of this planet, in different countries, and even different areas in different countries. But what I see for most people, and it's very, very present in Sweden, for example, it's like you're supposed to get a career and then find the right person, or at least a right person, like an okay person, this is fine. And then you're basically supposed to move together, after a while, move to a small house or a big house or whatever you want, get some kids, and then you're supposed to live happily, and then you're supposed to meet other people, other couples preferably, because you don't really, when you have found the right way, you don't want to be with the wrong persons anymore. Like, you don't want to be with the freaks that no one wants to have, you know? So it becomes this energy of, like, that is, like, the overall rule. And within that, you can then have a little bit of a flexibility, but it's still, like, the man is supposed to do this, and the woman is supposed to do this, and you're supposed to want to do this, but you're not supposed to do it. And all those things, it's just like running like a big, big program. And like, I see so many people, they start to function from these rules. And what happens is that they get basically more and more unhappy for every day. And they lose more of themselves for every day too. And what if all those rules that we're talking about, like Tamara was giving examples, I just gave examples. What if that is just basically bullshit? What if that is not even true? What if it doesn't have to be that way? Who said that it has to be that way?
Right. Whose version of the rules are they?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and
why
there's...
do we need to have rules in relationships?
And exactly.
Is there also an element? There's an element too of competition and of exclusion in
That's
sort of inherent in the rules. Like, you exclude people that are single or that are freaks or that don't want this, that aren't pointed in the same direction as you are, and then you compete with the ones who are of similar ilk, right? To have the best marriage and the best kids and the smartest kids and the fanciest
And the greenest lawn.
And the greenest lawn, like all of that, all those rules.
Yeah. And you know, actually, what I just became aware of is how when following all those rules, we start to give up ourselves. But, again, we have made something else more significant than us, and we start losing ourselves. And the price we're paying for that, it's normally with our happiness. You know?
Right.
I've heard this saying so many times, like, most people rather be in a relationship than being happy. And yeah, unfortunately, I've seen it too many times now to not see it. But what if it doesn't have to be that way? I really know that it doesn't have to be that way. So why do we have to have all these rules? And most of all, why do we think we have to follow them?
Definitely. And one of the things that I think people end up, well, I don't think, I mean, this was why I chose relationship, was the desire to be close to another person, to share myself with another person, to be intimate with another person, to reveal myself and have another person reveal themselves to me and share in that level of intimacy and closeness. And it's interesting how when you're trying to do the right thing to get relationship right, a lot of that gets lost and covered up and not really as available as if we function in relationship from choice rather than rule.
Yeah. Yeah. What I just became aware of when I was asking that question, actually, great way to ask a question to yourself, Mr. Jonas. It was like, why do we need all these rules? And what just came up for me is almost like it's like we cannot trust the other person to do what we expect them to do if we don't have all those rules.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like we trust for most people. We have a different definition of trust, by the way, and we will get to, we can introduce that too, because it's a great awareness and also a tool to start functioning in a different way. But what for most people, trust means that they can trust that the other person will do what they expect them to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when just imagine living with a person for 20 years and you want to know what they're going to do in every situation in the future. Yeah, of course you need to have all kinds of rules so they cannot go outside of that box, so you can be secure and calm with that they will do what you're waiting for or what you're expecting.
Yeah, so it seems like relationship is often done based on possession and control.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, possession and control and fantasy, too, that they're somehow going to show up the way you want them to as opposed to the way they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when did we do trust? It's like that energy of trust. It's exactly what you said, Tamara. It's possession and control.
So we have another one of our hosts, Leeson Bengtsson, who would like to come on the call and contribute. Welcome, Leeson.
Hi, Tamara. Hi. It's so much fun to hear you guys talk, and I've been just listening, and my body gets so excited because there's so much more to explore in this area, and also really just cool to listen to you guys because it's like, hey, what if we all wake up and did choose differently? And I was looking into an energy so that you were talking in the beginning about, like, the way we create structure in a relationship a lot. And I was just looking for myself when I was a kid, looking at everybody, how they were doing. It was like, how do I figure this one out? And it was like building up points of views, what's right, how to do it, when to do it. And then the older I got, it was like when I was ready for a relationship, I should have all the structure in place. You see what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so it's really for me was just to figure out things, and when I got all these structures and all these judgments, oh, now I can go into a relationship. And it was just like what you guys said, control, lots of fantasies. I mean, everything I've seen on movies, oh my God, when that didn't show up, it's really interesting how we build up all those things, and then we don't even ask ourselves what we would like to have in a relationship. Look, what if we had, like, eyes like a kid when we're grown up looking at relationships, not knowing what is right or wrong or what we should like, what we should not like, and ask some questions. Hey, just like for me the last year is just figuring out what would I like to have in a relationship or not in a relationship, and how much do I value myself just because I'm with somebody, and do I value myself less when I'm not with somebody? There's like a big thing here, destruction instead of, hey, what if we would ask ourselves what we would like to have and be allowed to look at something very different? And I've been in different countries last month, like in Netherlands and Amsterdam and Ireland and Sweden, Denmark, and had so many interesting areas of relationship and looking at. And if we go to Ireland, I mean, it takes them 4 years to be able to divorce their ex. And in Sweden, I don't even know, half a year or a year? And it's like a sin to do it. And for us, it's like, yeah, it's not good, and you're judged. But, oh, my God, it's like the worlds are so different. It's like a comic book. It's insane. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is insane in many ways. And when we buy into, you know, this energy of minority rules, as soon as most of the people are choosing something, it's like it's more true, and it's probably the truth of how you're supposed to live your life. And most people are choosing one thing in relationship, but what if that is not the way it has to be? Like, what if you could trust yourself in a different way and trust that the other person will do what they do when they will do it? And what if you would choose to be grateful for the other person no matter what they're doing, you know? It's like, oh, I will only love you if you do it like this. I will love you because you're changing to become this. And what if all of these energies is just the rules and the lies? What if all the rules are lies? That's basically the question.
Yeah. Because they are.
Yeah, no. So everything that
you can't
that
say that
us buy into that the rules are true. The rules are the truth. Can we destroy and uncreate it all?
Yeah.
You bet.
Yes. Right and wrong, good and bad, put and book, all my shirts, boys and young.
Can I just, Jonas, they're not rules. They're just the rightness of our parents or our friends' points of view. We should live up to them. They're not rules. They're just the way it is.
Oh, now it's our parents' rules. I hear you.
So we have another host who would like to contribute to our conversation today, Susanna Mittermeier. Welcome, Susanna.
Hello, lovely people. Thank you. This is such an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. So it's so interesting, this topic about relationship, because, you know, as you talk about people, what are people looking for in relationship? Like, most people are looking for closeness, intimacy, having somebody to be with, having somebody to belong to, having somebody who sees them, who validates them. And then, you know, looking for all of that in another person or in somebody else builds up all those expectations and all those things where, oh, I'm going to get this if I find the person who sees me, validates me. And it just creates, and it's the funny thing is, so looking for this in another person, looking for this closeness and this intimacy, and at the same time building up all those expectations is creating so much separation, so much like distance instead of closeness, which is so extremely fascinating. So we're looking for something to give us, you know, to be the answer for us, for everything we're looking for our lives. And then it's exactly all the many times creating the opposite. So what if everything, you know, you're talking about with all the rules, everything that relationship should give us is actually just an interesting point of view. Nothing of that is real. And what if we all could start with ourselves, and instead of looking at it in another person, we could start with, hey, how would I like to be treated by, you know, my lover? And what if I would treat myself that way? So, just asking yourself, how would I like to treat myself, if I would be my best lover, for example?
Yeah, definitely. I think you,
yeah.
One of the things that I come across in every single relationship facilitation that I do is that expectation. The expectations build up where you're literally like suffocating under the weight of this expectation. And I talk about it as almost the silent killer. Anything where there's so much expectation, it just slowly is killing the relationship. And we do this. It's this weird thing that we do. As soon as we're in relationship with somebody, it could be a family member, it could be a coworker, it could be a friend, it could be a lover. It's like, oh, now that we're in relationship, I'm entitled to expect things from you.
Yeah.
And it's one of those crazy things that we do, rather than being an allowance of what that person is choosing for themselves and choosing for their life and what they would like to create as their life. It's like, now I expect you to show up the way there's a way that we expect them to show up for us. And if they start to change in even the slightest way, then we're calling, we're saying, wait, what are you doing? You're starting to change. You have to stay the same for me, because now I have this relationship with you, and I require you to be this thing for me in relationship. And that entitlement to expect things is, that will kill a relationship faster than anything I've seen so far.
And you know,
and
that,
I have the right to be upset.
And the opposite of that is so true, which is what I did, which is what I typically do, which is judge myself or fault myself if they didn't turn out the way I had hoped they would, or the way I could see, the way they had the potential to be. And I would blame myself or fault myself for not being good enough or not being special enough or not being whatever. that I wasn't sort of the inspiration for them to shift and to become somebody that I wish that they would be rather than who they actually were. But there's that sense of entitlement like you guys were talking about, and then also this almost like degradation of myself that when it didn't turn out that way, like there was something really wrong, broken with me that I couldn't, yet one more thing that I couldn't pull off, you know?
And all that sweet, amazing exclusion, like when all people are looking for is closeness and intimacy, it is a major conflictual universe.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will continue our discussion about the cost of you losing you in relationship right after this break.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Tamara Yonker, and I'm here with Anne Maxwell and Jonah Svensson, Susanna Mittermeier, and Leeson Bengtsson. We've been talking about the cost of losing you in relationship. And just before the break, you might have noticed that the energy seemed to have gotten a little heavy, and this can be a really sensitive topic. There's a lot of energy around how we have all felt wrong in relationship. I'm speaking for me personally, and I know that our other hosts were talking about that on the break. So we're going to do some clearing and hopefully begin to shift that energy so that there's more choice for you to choose something else. Susanna, you had a great clearing.
Yeah. So it's a very difficult one. What facility are you using to create losing you in relationship are you choosing? And everything that is, can we please just join and create it all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm absolutely honest. Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, talk, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. Wow. Whew.
Yeah, that's a good one. We ought to run that a few times.
Oh, yeah. Una vez más, one more time now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Do that.
So what strategy are you using to create losing you in relationships are you choosing? Wow, and everything that is times Godzillion, can we please destroy and uncreate it all?
Yes.
Thank you. Right, wrong, good, bad, pop, talk, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
I would also really like to point out the really good thing about when the energy starts creating and it gets heavier, that's really when something is basically not working for you in your life. It's normally some sort of lie that has got stuck in your universe, or you have created something that doesn't work for you. It's not true for you, but you, for some reason, you thought that was your only choice, or you start to believe in it for some reason. And then just by bringing it up, it creates this heaviness. That is really not a problem, people. That is really the true gift of you. When you are allowing that energy to come up in your universe, that's when you have the possibility to really change it. And just an example on a great question that when that shows up, just start by stopping yourself and acknowledge the fact that, oh, this feels heavy. What is the crap I'm creating here? And just ask yourself, what can I be or do or choose different here that will create something else? Like, it's just very simple. It's just to recognize that it's time to start to choose something different so you can have a different reality showing up in your relationship. With whoever.
Yeah, because sometimes it's not like the big shift needs. Some people, like, I remember when I was doing myself wrong in a relationship or it didn't work, I thought I had to make major changes. Like, I had to work hard. We had to go to a coach or something. And sometimes it's just beginning with a question. You have no idea where things will change when you do begin asking questions about it instead of going only to the wrongness, what's not working, and basically what's not working with my partner. Or with the person I'm with, instead of like, hey, what can I change here? What can I create here? And what can I look at differently? And it's amazing the space it opens up. And I can just see how often I just contracted and went to a conclusion, a judgment, or just went like, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, I'm not, blah, 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 and went in that totally drama and messed with that.
I know Lisa pretty well, and I can tell you that she is speaking the truth when she's saying that a small question can make big differences.
Right? When he says, he knows me pretty well, we were in a love relationship for 3 years, so we know our things there.
Oh, did you love me? Oh, awesome. Thank you, Jonas.
Yes, I loved you. No, I didn't love you. I still love you, Jonas.
Just kidding. It's just funny to joke about it because, it's so true what Lisa is saying, and like, just a small question might create bigger change than you could ever imagine. And what if we didn't make it so significant that basically if the relationship doesn't work, we have to reinvent the whole relationship to start with? Yeah, maybe you do, but what if you started by making a small choice, something a little bit different, and just took a step towards something different?
Yeah,
what if that step is not to doing it more right, you know?
What if we actually started asking questions that opened up possibilities, and it wasn't about, you know, making the right choice or doing the right thing, but opening up to what would work for us in ways that we haven't yet explored or imagined?
Well, but it's so normal. It's so normal to lose yourself in relationship. It's like the normal operating procedure in this reality. Mm-hmm. And giving yourself up, it's like validating other people's realities. And I just came up with another clearing. It's like, what creation of losing you in relationship are you using to validate other people's realities and invalidate yours are you choosing?
And everything that brought up, can we create that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one.
Right, we're good or bad, put a book all night. Yeah.
I often use also these questions, what energy, space, and consciousness can me and my body be to create a different relationship or be contribution in a relationship or create more ease, because I don't always know how to figure things out. So I ask for contribution from all the questions. I love the one, what energy, space, and consciousness can mean my body be to create a totally different reality with relationships, for example.
Mm-hmm. And everything that doesn't allow that. How about we just try and uncreate all that?
I think that would be a good thing. Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyond.
And while we're doing clearings, there was one, Tam, remember the show that we did on defending for and against that you were awesome the way you described all that. And what if a lot of the heaviness that has come up and sort of dissipated and then come up again over the course of this call is really us defending for and against relationships? And there's one defending clearing that is awesome that works for everything, but that if people were to say it to themselves, Gary says 30 times a day in 30 days. I know I've done it, and it's changed so much for me, so dramatically. And it's who or what are you defending for or against, that if you didn't defend for or against it, would give you all of you. And everything that doesn't allow that, will you just join and create it?
Yeah.
Right, wrong, good, bad, Pock, Schwartz, boys, beyond. So all of you in your relationship, all of you with your partner, with your lover, with whatever. But when you step into a space that's other than defending for or against, you step into the space of choice and of possibility and of just like amazing, sparkling, wonderful stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Everywhere you're defending for and against you in relationship, will you just join and create all that times a gazillion?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyond.
Cool.
It's really like you were starting to bring up the energy so beautifully, and I'm really looking at this energy from working with doing a lot with relationship, both with people and with classes and facilitating that energy of relationship, and also myself constantly, basically, also how what I'm doing and what I can do different in relationship in regards to everything and every person that I come across. And I'm like, what would be possible of just doing relationships really different, where the relationship wasn't the significant part? Instead, you allowed you to be you and expand and contribute even more to a relationship, to whatever relationships or to whatever person, whenever it shows up.
Well, the thing about the marriage, I've been married for a while, and it never would have lasted if we had been rigidly held and bound to whatever the original rules were. And there's some rough times, and there are times where you ask yourself, wait a minute, is this like really worth it, or are we gonna make it, or does it even matter? And then like we've been talking about today, you ask a question and you shift into that space of choice where you choose for you, and when you choose for you, you choose for everybody around you. And choosing for you is an incredibly healing and generative and creative space to be in a relationship, because it gives the other person, when you give the other person it's almost like permission to choose for themselves with no point of view about what that choice is and what's going to become as a result of it, to know that you're fine and they're fine regardless of whether you're together or not together, but to lose the point of view that you have to be together until death do you part, which is what's in the marriage vows. When you step out of that, then you step into being in a relationship where you choose into it every day. And one of the things that I do every night and every morning is I just join and create everything that my relationship has been up until now, and then in the morning, just join and create all the projections and expectations I have about us and how we have to be going forward and into the future. And you get to tap into that space of like sparkle and wonder and fun and ease. Again, right?
Yeah, totally. Because that's basically the problem. We start to define ourselves in relationships, and then again, to be able to trust each other, we have to create all these rules, and the rules also include how the other person is supposed to be. So exactly what you said, like if we go to bed today, you're supposed to wake up as the same person tomorrow, otherwise the person cannot trust you in the relationship. But what if that's just bullshit?
Right.
What if it would be much much more fun to do what you said, like destroy and uncreate the whole relationship the day before, and then let's see what shows up next day, and keep on creating the relationship.
And the thing that you're destroying and uncreating isn't the you, and isn't what works, and isn't what's true for you and true for the other person. What you're destroying and uncreating is everything that gets in the way of you being you and them being them, and the relationship being a contribution and a generative and creative space for the two of you. It's not destroying and uncreating you. It's destroying everything that keeps you from being you and tapping into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the expectations that has been built that is on their way to become the rules. You know?
Yeah, the expectations, for sure. That's what you want to destroy and uncreate.
And all the projections, right?
Yeah,
and the shoulds and the have-tos.
Exactly. This is a great tool. So, like, just people, just start using these tools. Destroy and uncreate your relationship so you can have something different show up. Start asking questions like, what can I be and do different here? Use the clearings that we have used today. So you can start opening up a different space and possibility for you to choose something different in relationships that would be more expansive and more fun for you.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Relationship by design. We can create it.
Exactly.
So this has been a great topic today. I really enjoyed talking about it, and I know that it feels to me like we've just begun to scratch the surface. So I want to thank my co-hosts today, Jonas and Anne, Leeson and Susanna. Thanks so much for your contribution. And next week, we have a pretty hot topic. It's sex or no sex. What do you choose, or who do you choose?
La, 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 la.
Woo-hoo. So you might want to join us same time next week, Tuesday at noon Pacific time, for The Value of Controversy. And also, if you like what Access Consciousness has been, the tools and what you've been hearing from us about Access Consciousness, you can also join the founder, Gary Douglas, and his co-creator, Dr. Dane Heer. They are on the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific. So thanks so much, everyone, for tuning into the program today. We enjoyed having you.
Thank you for listening to The Value of Controversy. What questions did we create for you today? Write in and tell us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about us, please visit our website at thevalueofcontroversy.com. Until our next show, be controversial and have a great week.